Mary missed her connection in Fayetteville, and still marked from the creases in the bus seat and stinking of diesel, Sweet talked her way into the pickup truck of a lanky Dublin kid headed home for supper. The boy moved to scooch his little brother out of the cab to make room. Mary patted her palm on the open window and leaned against the door to keep the younger boy from opening it. "I like the fresh air," she said, and tossed her twine-tied valise into the empty truck bed. She dug through her pocketbook for a scarf. "I will take a hand up, though." The pickup was newish, still shiny under the bus depot street lamp. Mary settled herself atop her case and tied the scarf over her wilting French pleat. She used a folded reward poster to clean the road grime from beneath her nails, then ate a mealy apple from her pocketbook, the last of her travel food. She threw the apple core into a field of great black crows and swiveled the band of her watch, 5:46. The boy was a conscientious driver and took her the whole way to the Starkings house in Elizabethtown. After he hoisted her down from the back, Mary offered to write a note to his ma to help explain his tardiness for dinner, to which he, "Aw, shucks, and that's mighty nice, but no thank you, ma'am." She waited for the truck to turn the corner before she approached the Starkings door. Mary would normally have figured a way to take a room in town, to brush her teeth before landing on the doorstep of the family of a missing child. With her ancient broken bag, she looked the part of traveling salesman, a closer cut than she cared for. Mary slid the valise behind the grayed porch swing. A layer of lace and the reflection from the setting sun blocked her view into the front window. She caught movement, though, the brush of a skirt hem. Mary rang the doorbell. She let up on the bell at the creak of advancing footsteps. Her hand was in her cardigan pocket, gripping the rolled reward poster. An unease was building in her gut. The door cracked open. It was so black inside the house that at first Mary couldn't see who had answered the door. Her eyes at last found a lined and sun-browned face wearing a neutral expression. The man, white, dressed in a rolled-sleeve work shirt, opened the door a bit wider, filling the gap with his chest. He was chewing, Mary realized, and he didn't offer a greeting. "Mr. Starking?" She spoke clearly, not trying to hide her New England accent. "I'm Mary Garrett. I'm hoping I can help you find your daughter." She reached out her hand to shake his, and the man slowly returned the gesture. His palm was a deep brown in the creases, not dirty but stained, and he smelled of meat and melted butter.
"You down from Raleigh?"
he said through his mouthful, hand still on hers. Mary could hear the scrape of fork on plate inside the house, a woman clearing her throat.
"No, sir. I was traveling in Baltimore, and I read about your girl. I have experience with these cases, and I'd like to be of assistance in looking for Polly."
The reward poster, pulled down from a bus shelter in Richmond, noted a $7,000 reward, enough to set her right for 3 full years. Starking held her hand still and finally swallowed his mouthful.
"What kind of assistance is that?"
"I have a deep woman's intuition, Mr. Starking, and dozens of families have found my services quite valuable. With time to acquaint myself with Polly, I'll be able to provide a great deal of insight to the case. Bring Polly home safe."
Mary no longer needed to think as she ran through her customary speech and focused instead on the tension in Mr. Starking's jaw, fluttering like moth wings. Starking stepped forward, crowding Mary on the porch. She minced back and pulled her hand free from his.